with wisdom and with power. A guy named Joe finds himself in dire trouble. His business has gone bust and he's in serious financial trouble. He's so desperate that he decides to ask God for help. Good decision, by the way. He begins to pray, God, please help me. I've lost my business, and if I don't get some money, I'm going to lose my house as well. Please, let me win the lotto. Lotto night comes and somebody else wins it. Joe again prays, please, God, let me win the lotto. I've lost my business, my house, and if I'm going to lose my car as well. Loud night comes and Joe still has no luck. Once again he prays, my God, why have you forsaken me? I've lost my business, my house, and my car. My wife and children are starving. I don't often ask you for help, and I have always been a good servant to you. Please, just let me win the lotto, and this one time, so I can get my life back in order. Suddenly there's a blinding light as the heavens open, and Joe is confronted by the very voice of God himself. He says, Joe, meet me halfway. Buy a ticket. We've been looking at, last week started a series called Fool's Gold. No? All right. But wisdom is something many search for, but very few find. The guy plowed a ticket, not very wise. Why is it that we don't find it? I think most of the reason, big part, is that we just don't know where to look for it. We look in all the wrong places, at all the wrong times, hoping we find it there. And in order for us to find true wisdom, we need to dig a little deeper than a surface level. So I want you to take a moment and think about the places you have searched for wisdom in the past. Now, I dare say most of the times it's going to someone that you trust, you look up to, someone you've known for a while that can give you a good wisdom talk. And I too know people like that. I've gone to people and have asked them for help, and I got people I can talk to and deal with, and they often give me godly counsel and help me through things. But ultimately, people are not the source of wisdom. God holds the key to true wisdom. God holds the key to that part we're looking for, that part we're searching for. And all we have to do is ask Him, and He will give it to us. So I want to encourage you today to seek after God's wisdom, His understanding, and His take on what wisdom really is and what it isn't. And He has created all things and knows all things. Amen? So welcome back, church. We're in week two of our series, Fool's Gold. If we're not careful, we can, I mentioned last week, get tricked into believing what is true, but really is just a lie. The enemy will give us all sorts of things that the world will tell us is true wisdom and true safety and true meaning of life and everything. But God has all the answers. We cannot fall for fool's gold. So here we are. We started last week this series, and my prayer is that during this time, during this series, that we'll learn about wisdom, what it is, what it isn't, where can we find it, most importantly, how do we apply it when we do find it. And today I want to spend a few moments learning how to dig deeper into the pursuit of wisdom. When people are looking for gold, it can't be found simply by looking on the surface. It doesn't work like that. You have to dig deeper. You have to wade through rivers. You have to pan out. You have to dig mines into mountains. it just doesn't, you don't find it on the surface. It just doesn't pop out of the rock and say, oh, there's work. Pick it up. You've got to really dig for it. You got to dig deeper. And that's in part why gold is and was valuable. And today, we're going to dig deeper together to find something even more precious than gold. And once again, we're going to not start Proverbs, like, you know, that book of wisdom. It's cast full of wisdom if you read it. I recommend reading Proverbs once a month, because it's like once a day you can get one through one Proverbs, and there's 31 Proverbs you get through in 31 days. You get the whole book of read over, you get wisdom over and over and over and over again. And we'll talk about that a little bit, but you know, that book's packed with wisdom. But we're going to start in the book of Job. And it talks about a servant by the name, you guessed it, Job. And Job was someone who was upright, lived right. He sought to have a life that was in step with God. And so we find, but after Satan had come to him and took some things away from Job, he lost everything. Job and his friends are having this ongoing dialogue about why that happened. And we're reading from the passage in Job 28, where he's speaking about wisdom, understanding. And so in verse 12, he says this: but where can wisdom be found? Where does understanding dwell? No mortal comprehends its worth. It cannot be found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not in me. The sea says, it is not with me. It cannot be bought with the finest gold, nor can its price be weighed out in silver. It cannot be bought with the gold of Ophir, with precious onyx or lapis lazuli. Neither gold nor crystal can compare with it, nor can it be had for jewels of gold. Coral and jasper are not worthy of mention. The price of wisdom is beyond rubies. The topaz of Cush cannot compare with it. It cannot be bought with pure gold. Where then does wisdom come from? Where does understanding dwell? It is hidden from the eyes of every living thing, concealed even from the birds and the sky. Destruction and death say only a rumor of it has reached our ears. God understands the way to it, and he alone knows where it dwells. Well, that's good, God, thanks. You alone know. It's not living, it's not something found amongst living. Now, before I continue, let me just read a verse out of that book of wisdom, Proverbs. It says this in Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of kings. I love that. I love this scripture. Now, you know, hear this, church. This is important. God doesn't hide things from us. He hides things for us. Because his desire is for us to search them out. He doesn't hide things from us. He hides them for us. What's the difference? He really wants you to find them. He really wants you to dig deeper, to search it out. God takes pleasure in us finding what he has hidden for us. And it's the glory of kings and queens, princes and princesses, and to search out the matter. I mean, think about it. We've given our kids gifts, and you know, sometimes we hide them, you know, Easter eggs or whatever, and it's always exciting to see their excitement when they find what they're looking for. And that's how God is. That's how excited about when we really search out. We're like, God, where is that? I know it's around somewhere. You know, and he doesn't hide things like you can't find them. He makes it, you know, easy enough to find. And he even gives us hints when he can't find it right away. You know, he'll sit there and say, you know, it's like he's hiding over here by this pole. He'll go, You know, he points us that we make sure we find what he's actually looking for. He doesn't hide them from us. He has them for us. That we search it out. That we seek it out. That we long for it. That we pursue it. He just wants us to know what it is. And that's why Jesus spoke in parables. Those that searched out the answers, those that searched out what he was talking about, understood the parable, and they unsolved the mystery of the story. So let's get back to Job. Within that passage we read in Job, there are a couple things I want to highlight for us today. Job tells us where to find wisdom. But before we can know where to find it, we have to know where it's not. And we got to know what it's not. So first, where is wisdom not found? In this passage, Job was talking about the source of wisdom, and he says and makes it clear in verse 13 that wisdom is not found among the living. That's you and I. Now, the reason why it's not that we ourselves cannot produce wisdom is that, you know, we can have our understanding. It's a little tainted sometimes. It's a little limited. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, tells us that, you know, now we see through, you know, a mirror. It's like we don't see everything as clearly as we should. There'll be a day we see everything more clearly, but right now we as individuals, as humans, without the help of Almighty God, see things a little limited. We don't see everything that God sees the way God sees it. And so we've got to search those things out. So you and I may have wisdom, but it's not something we can earn. It's not something we buy. It's not something wisdom is given only by God. So we understand that. And in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve decided by themselves to disobey God. Now I realize that, you know, in their disobedience that the enemy was there and he tempted them, and he does the same thing to you and I. Amen. That's why we need to guard our heart all the time, because he's always coming after us, always trying to mess us up and have us walk different ways and different paths. Because as I said, we can't produce wisdom. They made that bad choice to eat of the fruit of the tree that God said don't. And sin came into the world. They knew no sin up to that very point. And so they didn't use much wisdom, because we can't produce wisdom on our own. You can't buy wisdom on your own. Interesting to me that when God talks about Job in the scripture and all the things, the Bible says that Job was blameless. Look at it. In fact, God himself says this about Job: the finest of men, all the earth, but even this man was not the source of wisdom. Look at it in 1 Kings chapter 10. King Solomon was greater. I love this about Job. He said about Job, he's the finest man on all the earth, but even this man was not wisdom. And then in 1 Kings, it says this about King Solomon. King Solomon was greater in riches and wisdom than all the other kings of the earth. The whole world sought audience with Solomon to hear the wisdom God had put in his heart. God had put the wisdom in his heart. Now, why? Because 1 Kings chapter 3 tells us Solomon asked for it. When he was asked about what he's going to do to you know, what he wants, he didn't ask for riches like many of the other kings did before him. He didn't ask for all this. He said, I want wisdom to lead your people. And so God gave him both wisdom and finances and riches. He gave him everything. He did everything. So people came to see not just what Solomon built, but to hear what Solomon had spoken. And so Job shows us that we can still gain wisdom and grow in wisdom, even though we can't create wisdom on our own. Why? Because God gives it. Which leads me to what I mentioned a few moments ago. And Job shows us the true worth of wisdom in chapter 28. He says, wisdom cannot be purchased with silver or gold, and the price of wisdom is far beyond rubies. Now, gold is valuable. Upwards of $1,640 an ounce. So gold would be nice to have if you want riches. But there's something more valuable. Job says it's better than rubies, better than gold, the finest of gold. The thing we're searching for, this wisdom, cannot be bought with a price because it is priceless. In our world today, there's so many that desire wisdom and understand, but they do not understand money cannot buy wisdom. It's not on a clearance rack at Walmart. It's not a blue light special at Kmart. It's not available through next day shipping. And as big as the Amazon list is of items to sell, you'll never find bottled up wisdom in their search bar. Why? Because it's just not available for purchase. Yet God desires that we have it and use it and carry it, but that depends on us asking Him for it. So to highlight that a little bit, let me go to Matthew 19. It's a little story where we read a story of a rich young ruler coming to Jesus. He asks Jesus, what do I have to have? What do I need to do to have eternal life? And this is what Jesus says in Matthew 19, 16 through 22. He says, just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? By the way, you know, you don't have to do good things, right? I mean, you should do good things, but good things by itself won't get you to heaven. It takes a relationship with Jesus, acknowledge that He is your Lord and Savior. He's the one that rules your life. You cannot be good enough to get yourself there. Okay? But He says, teacher, what good thing must I do to get your eternal life? Why do you ask me about what is good, Jesus replied. There's only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Which ones? He inquired. You know, there's like, there we go. Which commands? I mean, there's a bunch of them I got to worry about. I mean, you know, we got the 10. That's 603 laws, all the religious folk today. Which ones are the ones I need to keep? And so Jesus tells them. Jesus replied, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false witness. Honor your father and mother and love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? He's like, I've done that. I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't stole from anybody. I honor my mom and dad. I'm the guy. I'm like, I did it, Jesus. Do I lack anything else? Is what he's asking. What else do I lack? And so then Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. The rich man was sad because he was told, go sell all you have, give to the poor, come follow me. Maybe for the first time in this rich young ruler's life, he found out that money cannot buy what he really wanted. See, money can't buy a lot of things. Wisdom is one. So maybe this young ruler, for the first time in his life, was told, you know what? I found something I can't have because I'm not willing to give up what I have to get what I want. In the same way, money cannot buy wisdom. nor any amount of possessions be traded in for exchange for wisdom. It must be gained through process of faith and trust, asking and believing, and in what and whom, you may ask, can I obtain true wisdom? I've already mentioned it, but it's only through God, and that's my final point. In the final verse of the power passage from Job 28, we read these words, God alone understands the way of to wisdom. He knows where it can be found. God is the one who created everything. Amen? He created everything that we see around us. Acts 17:20 tells us, excuse me, for in him we live and move and have our being. As some of our own poets have said, we are his offspring. And God holds the keys to finding wisdom. And what must we do to get it? Simply ask him for it. Thank you, Sean. Oh. Remember growing up, my dad had gotten a car for all my sisters. And so I thought, you know, my time was coming. And so I turned, you know, 16 and thinking, my turn. So I went to my dad and said, Dad, you know, you've given, you know, Mary the Mustang, you and Kate this car, and given, you know, Opal died away before she was old enough, but the daughters got theirs. So I thought, my turn. He goes, nope. How's that fair? And, you know, he just realized I was a guy, and I just had to go after it myself. And you keep asking, so you just wonder, and so you just, you know, sometimes you get disappointed. But here's what the scripture says about asking. Matthew 7, this is what Jesus speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, and he says this. Ask, and the gift is yours. Seek, and you will discover. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For every persistent one will get what he asks for. Every persistent seeker will discover what he longs for. And everyone who knocks persistently will one day find an open door. Do you know of any parent who would give his hungry child who asked for food a plate of rocks instead? Or who, when asked for a piece of fish, or what a parent would offer his child a snake instead? If you, imperfect as you are, know how to lovingly take care of your children and give them what is best, how much more ready is your Heavenly Father to give wonderful gifts to those who ask him? So, I never get my car from Dad. Joy and I get married. My car gets totaled out because some guy didn't have any backlights on him one morning in the back. On my way to work, I smack him in the back end, and my car's gone. So what do? We didn't have money back then. We were on a budget of how much a week for groceries? $15 a week. Now that was, you know, now mind you, it was 39 years ago, but nonetheless, that was still not much money. Actually, our first apartment that we had to get was, it was out of our price range. We looked at the apartments that, you know, they killed a cockroach on the walls. We're looking for the apartment. And we're thinking, and, you know, Joy's like thinking, if God, that's all we can afford, that's all we can have, bless it. We went to another apartment that was way out of our price range, way out of our league. And the teacher, he was a teacher from Jenison High School. He was in there painting one day. And And so we're just going through, and I'll get to the car story in just a moment here, but just let me go through there. And so we're going to the apartment, and I says, you know, I can't afford it. He goes, well, what can you afford? I showed him what I made, and I told him what I made an hour. He says, I give this much to my church every week. And he lowered the rent and let us live there. I got laid off my job one time during that process. The people downstairs had just moved out. He had me paint the building downstairs, take care of the work that he had to paint, that he had to take care of to get ready for the next little. I made more money working for my landlord than I did working for my job. And then our car was gone. And so I couldn't go to Dad, but I asked God. I asked my Heavenly Papa. And so from our church came and said, I hear you need a car. I says, yep. Well, I have one. I says, what am I going to buy it with? My good looks? And he goes, yep. And so the car cost absolutely nothing. But we had a car that she could get back to Fort and do what she had to do. She was still going to Grand Valley at the time. We weren't even married at this point yet. We're just not even married, that, you know, just when the car was there. And so we're just back. We just needed the car for back forth to Grand Valley and me to do whatever I had to do. And so it's like all worked out. Ask your Heavenly Father, be persistent in asking. So yeah, it maybe came years later. God knows what we need, when we need it, exactly how we need it. And He'll open doors, He'll make it if we just continue to knock, seek, and seek. So Jesus invites us to ask God for things. And He doesn't even limit what we ask for. You know, He doesn't say... Now, He does say sometimes you ask, you have not, because you ask not. He does say that. He does say sometimes you have the wrong motives in the process of asking. So there are things that he wants us to base it on, but He doesn't limit what we ask for. And sometimes He'll even give us what we want and not just what we need. But our wants can't be out of selfishness, revenge, greed, or, you know, fame. That's just not God's will. And I do believe that as we grow closer to God, as we understand all that God has for us, the wisdom He wants us to have, His will for our lives, I believe that as we begin to see those things and we begin to understand the things that He has for us, we'll see what He desires for us. We'll just ask what He desires for us to have. Lord, what is Your will in my life for this moment? What is Your will for my life in this season? What do you want me to learn in this season? What is it You want me? And we begin to ask according to His will, because we know what His will is. And one of those things that we can ask for, one thing He desires that we have, is wisdom. In order to find wisdom, we have to go beyond a surface level in our faith. We must be willing to dig deeper in our relationship with God. Maybe for you, this looks like spending more time in prayer this week, seeking God for things and thanking Him for what He's already done. For somebody else, it might be looking to spend more time in God's Word and open up and for yourself this week, and when you do, you'll learn more about who He is and who God says you are. George, you come. See, these steps take us beyond a surface level relationship with Jesus Christ and into a more intimate relationship with Him, which is what He so desires. Developing this kind of relationship takes time. It's a process. Have you ever heard the phrase, faith is not a marathon, or it's a marathon, not a sprint? Faith is a marathon, not a sprint. Have you ever heard that phrase? It's a long process. It's difficult. It takes persistence. And we need to learn to trust in the process. Faith is a process. We must learn to trust our divine creator through the process. Trust He'll lead us and guide us and help us and to understand all He has according to His will. We need to learn to ask, believing that the Lord is willing and able to supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. We need to develop a prayer life that is consistent rhythms of getting alone with the Lord. In these times of solitude, we can bring our questions, our concerns, our fears, literally everything to the throne of God with boldness and confidence. Hebrews 4:16 tells us this. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This is how we dig deeper, how we press in, how we obtain wisdom. In the book of James, it says this, James 1:5. And if anyone longs to be wise, who longs to be wise? Anybody? Here's what you have to do. Ask God for wisdom and He will give it. He won't see your lack of wisdom as an opportunity to scold you over your failures, but He will overwhelm your failures with His generous grace. God will give you wisdom if you ask. God, I don't know. I've got this problem in my life right now. I've got this situation I'm going through. I just don't know what to do. I need your wisdom. I promise you, you can go to seek counsel from me, somebody else that you trust, someone else that give you kindly counsel, but the wisdom has got to be from God. It's got to be something that God it can use them and instill them, so that you can learn how to overcome the situation you're in right now. But if you'll do that, if you'll trust Him through the process, you'll trust Him, God will give you wisdom in the most unusual places sometimes, but He'll always give you wisdom. Why? Because His Word says He will. This truth goes back to our passage I shared with you just from Matthew 7. Ask. We have a good Father who wants to give us, all His kids, what they need. Not everything we want, but everything we need. And if you need wisdom in a situation, you need wisdom in a problem, you need wisdom in a situation or a circumstance, something going on in your life, you need wisdom. God is more than willing and able to give you what you need in the moment. So consider spending more time in prayer this week. Dig deeper into His Word, into the Gospels, and into Proverbs, the book of wisdom. Seek wisdom. Seek knowledge and understanding. And remember, faith is not a sprint. And there are seasons that are more difficult than others. It's in those difficult seasons we need the wisdom and the grace of God to overcome the circumstance we find ourselves in. But God is faithful to see you through. He's faithful to give you all that you need for the journey. I promise you, just trust Him. God, there's things I don't have all the answers for. Your Word tells us to know and answer every man, but God, sometimes we just want the answers. We need to seek You for the answers. We need Your wisdom. So, Father, today I pray. I pray Your Holy Spirit begin to shine wisdom in our life. Begins to show us answers we need to make it through the journey of the season we find ourselves in at this very hour. It's so easy to just say, I don't get it. I don't understand. I'm done. Lord God, I need to seek your wisdom. You created all things. You know all things. You see all things. And God, it's in you we can have all things pertaining to life and godliness. So God, give your people the wisdom they need to walk in the fullness of the calling that you've called them to. Let us walk through the oceans of life, where sometimes our feet may not know where to wander, God, but you know the path, you know the direction, you know the answers, you know what we need to get through the season. So God, give us wisdom to walk the path that you've chosen for us to walk. Wisdom to walk a direction that we're supposed to walk in. Wisdom to lean not on our own understanding, but always acknowledge you, for you direct our path. Give us wisdom. Not of the world, but of you, God. For we don't want to live after walk after fool's gold. Fool's gold is not real. God, we want the real thing. Coke isn't it. Jesus is it. So God, help us to walk in your wisdom and your grace. And we give you all of the honor, all of the glory, and all of the praise. And the church said, amen.